Pickett rode toward him, staff trailing behind. The fire was definitely slower now. The air of the woods was clearing. Pickett's face was bright red. He reined up, but was hopping around in the saddle, patting the horse, slapping his own thigh, gesturing wildly, pointing, grinning. "Lewis, how's everything? Any questions?" Armstead shook his head. "Good, good. As soon as the guns cease fire, we step off. Garnet and Kemper, the first line, you're in the second. Root step, no halting, no stopping to fire. Want to get up there as fast as you can. I'll keep toward the right flank to cover that side. Do you need anything?" "Nothing." "Good, fine." Pickett nodded violently. "How are you feeling?" "I'm fine." "That's good. One other point. All officers are ordered to walk. No officer takes his horse. Utterly foolish." Pickett's horse, catching the general's excitement, reared and wheeled. Pickett soothed him. "So you go on foot. No exceptions." "Yes," Armstead said. "But what about Garnet? What about..." "Oh," Pickett grimaced, "that leg. I don't think he can walk," Pickett said slowly.
"Damn it.
George, order him not to make the charge."
"I can't do that.
He's in no condition." But Pickett shook his head.
"You know I can't do that. A man on a horse in front of that line? George, he'll be the only rider in a line a mile wide. They'll have every gun on that hill on him."
Pickett rubbed the back of his neck, slammed his thigh.
"He can't walk at all? He might get 50 yards. Damn,"
Pickett said, caught himself guiltily. Not a good time to be swearing.
"But you know how he feels. It's a matter of honor."
Pickett threw up his hands abruptly, helplessly. "Order him not to go, George." Pickett shook his head reprovingly. Armstead said, "All right, I understand. Yes, but I think I'm getting a bit old for this business." His voice was low, and Pickett did not hear it, was not even listening. Armstead rode with him back into the woods along Seminary Ridge. The woods were dark and blessedly cool. He saw Longstreet sitting on a rail fence, gazing out into the glittering fields toward the enemy line. Pickett rode toward him, and Longstreet turned slowly, swiveling his head, stared, said nothing. Pickett asked him about the guns. Longstreet did not seem to hear. His face was dark and still. He looked wordlessly at Pickett, then at Armstead, then turned back to the light. Pickett backed off. There was a savagery in Longstreet they all knew well. It showed rarely, but it was always there, and it was an impressive thing. Suddenly, in the dark grove, for no reason at all, Armstead looked at the dark face, the broad back, felt a bolt of almost stunning affection. It embarrassed him, but he thought, "Before we go, I ought to say something." Longstreet had moved suddenly, turning away from the rail. Armstead saw Pickett running up through the trees, a note in his hand, his face flushed. Longstreet stopped, turned to look at him, turned slowly like an old man, looked at him with a strange face, a look tight and old that Armstead had never seen. Pickett was saying, "Alexander says if we're going at all, now's the time." Longstreet stopped still in the dark of the woods. The huge glare behind him had made it difficult to see. Armstead moved that way, feeling his heart roll over and thump once. Pickett said, pointing, "Alexander says we've silenced some Yankee artillery. They're withdrawing from the cemetery. What do you say, sir? Do we go in now?" And Longstreet said nothing, staring at him, staring. And Armstead felt an eerie turning, like a sickness, watching Longstreet's face. And then he saw that Longstreet was crying.